Good morning. It's time for us to begin. We're on, still in unity, about halfway down. Don't boastfully challenge or envy one another in Galatians 5, 25 and 26. Change things up. I'm going to ask Roman, would you read that? Galatians 5, 25 and 26. Thank you. So we're in unity. And that's what we've been discussing. And I was like, you know, we've been doing this two classes. So, you know, I'll probably need to hurry up through these. And then I looked and I'm like, there's so many different aspects of this. There's some of these that we really still need to talk about. So I'm not going to really hurry up through it because unity is one of the things that I sincerely believe God wants to see among His children. Just as we want to see it among our earthly children, among our earthly family, how much more then should God want to see it among His people, right? We're supposed to be children of God. And if we're children of God, then there's a unity that is assumed by that. So, in this verse, we're supposed to live by the Spirit. And if we live by the Spirit, let us walk by the Spirit. Very much flows from what Zeke was talking about this morning. If we're led by the Spirit, if we walk by the Spirit, if we have a heart that is from God, this is going to lead to a certain type of behavior, right? The fruits of the Spirit. If we have the fruits of the Spirit and we grow and continue growing those, well, we have a problem with unity, kindness, gentleness, love, all of those things. We're not going to have a problem with it. It's going to naturally flow from that. But we get some details in verse 26. It starts off with a warning or a command not to, and we're not to do what? Be boastful or conceited. So what does being boastful or conceited mean? Right. Thinking highly of yourself is conceited, and then boastful is the action that would flow from that. They're very related. What is being boastful? Yeah, something that sets you above others. This prideful thought. You know, we all have talents and abilities. And as I tell people, if you want to be smart or seem smart, just pick a topic that the other person doesn't know. Right? In college there, we had to do a seminar. And so visiting professors would come in and everything. And there was this professor whose job and goal in life was to make the person cry. And this guy was very smart. He had a joint appointment in mechanical engineering, mathematics, and in the School of Medicine. This guy was smart. So if you were really good at this, he would ask you about something about over here. If you were good at that, then he would ask you something over here. It's great. If you want to make me seem not very smart, ask me about goat breeding. I don't know anything about goats. And you can go, really, Zay? I mean, you didn't know about that. And, yeah. But if you pick something I know, then I might sound better. Boastful is trying to find something that we know that someone doesn't know, or something that we're good at that they're not good at. And we can't do that. It destroys unity. The problem, I think, with the political world today is we don't talk about how we're the same and how we can have unity. We talk about how we're different. Right? In politics, it wouldn't be great if they go, you know what? I think that person's a nice person that wants to do good things. We might have some details wrong. People aren't going to vote for them. They're going to go, no, that person is literally the devil. We can't look at all of our differences. We have to look at how we're the same in the things that we do. That doesn't mean we excuse sin, but it means that we want to work together. So then, this boastfulness looks at, or in my version it says, provoking one another. What does that mean?
Continuation of what he says about boasting or conceit is a reflection of self-superiority. It's telling somebody, I can do or I can be better at this than you and I'm going to prove it.
Right. How do we, what types of things do we need to be careful that we don't provoke one another in? Or how do we know how not to provoke one another? Right. If they have a weakness, but they have a pet, there's something they don't agree with, they have a problem with, and you keep poking them, right? It's the teenager in us, right? We all have, if you want to get someone mad, ask their kids how to do that, especially if they're teenagers. They know, right? And so, there are things that we We can just poke and we can prod and we can show superiority, or we can try to do things, and that gets people riled up. And why do we do that? Why is that a temptation? Right, it makes yourself feel superior, better. We feel better about ourselves. And we get into this game, right? Of if we're better or worse, right? We all want to be the strongest, the prettiest, the smartest, the most successful, the most famous. There's a part of us that struggles with that. We all struggle with it in different ways, but we all have this problem of wanting to be better. And what does Philippians 2 say about that? And about the section about Jesus was more humble, right? And think of others better than yourself. We can't be about provoking one another. This is a very negative, you know, verse of things we don't do. We don't provoke one another. We also have to know each other well enough to know what pushes the other person's button, right? And how we're going to find out what other problems are. We got to actually listen to them. You got to spend time with each other, right? You're not going to learn about each other. We're not going to be a family if we don't spend time with each other. Time like this, but also time outside of the Bible classes and the worship service. And we need to spend time with each other listening. Potlucks are a good chance for that. People talk better when they're eating, even though your mom would be embarrassed that you talk with your mouth full sometimes. But we need to do that. And we need to sit with people at the potluck that we don't normally sit with. Right? Try to mix it up a little bit. And then we have to listen. And then how do we prevent the envying one another? Right, we should be happy. Right, and that flows from love. If we are love someone, we are rooting for them to do well, and if we're rooting for them to do well, then it will help us with the envy. There was another comment on? Right, focus on building them up. I know I'm weird, and be patient with me. But I enjoy talking to people and understanding how discussions help people, right? Maybe I'm too analytical about it, but it's like, do you ever just get into a conversation with someone to try to make their day better? Have you ever said, I'm going to talk to Corey and I'm going to listen to what he says, because listening is the first step, but what things does Corey like to talk about? What things is Corey interested? What things is Corey good at that he can tell me about, instead of the other way that we normally approach conversation is I like talking to Corey because he lets me talk about what I like, right? And it's a very different way of looking at it, yes. Right, get our focus off ourselves. Talk to them, understand what their struggles are, understand, you know, that life isn't always roses sometimes for other people.
This whole thing about boasting and challenging and provoking, our conduct towards others is usually driven by whatever our opinion of ourselves is, right? We can treat somebody else based on how I think about myself.
Mm-hmm.
And the hard thing about unity or harmony or agreement, whatever we want to call it in this regard, is, you know, this idea of humility. It's been thrown around a lot, you know, not the word, but the idea of it. You know, talking about somebody, about their strengths and trying to help them through in conversation and stuff like that, but it's two-sided. There needs to be an honesty and a transparency on both sides of that. It does no good if I notice somebody is weak somewhere and I harp on them because I'm better in that area. But what if I don't know where someone is weak and I'm boasting about my proficiency in something that nobody else knows about, as far as that person is concerned? I guess what I'm getting at is that if spending time together is good, but the way to build relationships is to share with one another about those things that are deepest within you. And that's hard to do. We don't like to share our weaknesses. We don't like people to see our flaws. And so we don't talk about it.
No, and that's true. That's, we need to spend enough time that we're comfortable talking about the things we struggle with, the things that are bothering us and everything. And it is an interesting thing. We had moved to Oklahoma, and there was a family that they were struggling in a lot of different ways, including spiritually. And they had visited a couple of times. And so we invited them to Elizabeth's birthday party. So we're moving the next day. Moving. And we got a bunch of junk. We're blessed with a bunch of junk, right? And like all of us, it seems. But so I am going to the birthday party talking to people, hey, y'all were showing up tomorrow? Yeah. And this family that had visited twice that we're just trying to encourage, he's looking at me like, buddy, what are you doing? So finally I have to come clean. Like, hey, we're moving tomorrow. And he goes, well, we'll come. And I'm like, no, we didn't invite you to the birthday party so that you had to help us move. That's what we were doing to everybody else. You know, we gave you cake, now you can help us move. But no, that wasn't what I was doing. I was trying, but they came. And what that did is it changed that relationship. And we were able to help them more because they helped us move, because they were then useful in the relationship. It changed the balance of power. They had something on me. Now, I know they didn't look at it that way, but see, they were contributors. And we all want to be contributors. We all want to help, and that changes the dynamic. Too often, it's like, oh, if you need something, sure, I'll be there. Oh, I'm fine. Wearing my church clothes, my church face, I'm great. How are you? We don't want to be beholden to someone. But that is part of helping each other, is we're going to have to be honest. We have to approach the relationship in a give and take situation. So in Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 6, Mike Smith, would you read that? Ephesians 4. Thank you. Okay, so in this section, this talks about, at the last part of this section, about why we should have unity, because there is one faith, one Lord, one hope, one baptism, all of this together. If we have this in common, then unity, obviously, is going to become much easier. If we don't have this unity, then all the other stuff is superficial, right? We have one faith, one Lord, one God, one baptism. All of this is the way we can worship together. And when we have that, then we can work on this unity gently, patiently, bearing with one another in love, or tolerate one another. If you love someone, can you tolerate a lot? Yes. Two people dating, right? It is hilarious. Especially, when someone first starts dating, they don't really know how to be kind and gentle with each other. They're, it's a learned process, right? Learning how to treat a boyfriend, a girlfriend that becomes a husband or wife, it's hard, right? We don't just instantly know how to do that. And, Tracy and I are still training each other, right? How do you handle a woman in this situation? Boy, Zane's clueless. So Tracy's like, okay, this is what I need for you to do. And then that's vice versa. We work with each other, but why do we keep hanging out together? Because we love each other. We've made the decision to love each other, right? Is it always puppies and rainbows and baby giggles? No. But we love one another, therefore we tolerate each other. Are there going to be some things that just make you mad? Sometimes those are big deals, sometimes they're not. But what do we really have to do? Go to Walmart and get a big case of, get over it, right? There's a lot of get over it that's needed in life, right? And normally when we have these situations, we say things like, they can't treat me that way. Or, I deserve better than that. Or, do they not know who I am? Do they know not, they don't know where I came from or what I've been through? All of those phrases had some key words in them that we need to be careful of. I and me. If it's all about us, we're going to be able to find reasons not to tolerate. But when we use toleration, this is not tolerance of sin, but it's tolerance of the things that go on in life, right? When we tolerate each other through love, what does that change about us? What do we have to do with ourselves? How do we have to think of ourselves in order to truly be tolerant of other people's cultures, things like that? We don't come first. Right? I don't remember that portion of the Bible that says, Zane, you're the most important. Think about you. Make sure nobody treats you bad. Make sure nobody does anything that steps on your toes. Make sure that you're happy at the expense of others. Is that in the scriptures? No, it's all about putting others first. I have to be second in order for this tolerance of people and their ways of dealing with things is okay, right? And that's hard to do, isn't it? Sometimes it's easier, sometimes it's harder. But let's pick on Zeke because he stands. He might have ways of approaching things that's not the way you would do it. Have you ever gone, you know, that was a pretty good sermon, but I wish you would have approached it this way. I know. Well, that's the reason I get to use you, because you float around and levitate. So yeah, but I mean, we think of that. How do we handle that? Was it wrong the way he did it? No. But it would have been, I would have liked this better. Or I wish he would do this. Or I wish he would do that. Or do we step back and go, I'm glad he's doing it, right? He's putting the work in. It's biblical. He's doing the best that he can. And of course he's not going to do it the way I am, because we're different people. You see the difference? Or if we're trying to find reasons to be upset, we can't. But if we're trying to find ways to tolerate, to bear with one another in love. And we're going to talk a lot about love in this next section, but love is going to be the thing that binds us together. And who teaches us to love? Christ, the Lord. And His love included dying for people who were in active rebellion, yelling, crucify him. And then while he was dying, he said, forgive them, they know not what they do. He tolerated a lot of stuff. And still was able to look for what's better for each other.
Did you have? As you say, our love for one another is going to be driven by the unity the Spirit is talking about. Now back in Galatians 5, in verse 25, Paul said that we're led by the Spirit, we'll walk by the Spirit. And both are important for Paul, everything came back to believing with life. You know, believing doctrine. Doctrine's important. You know, we have a set of beliefs that are the platform for our unity. And that's what he said in verse 4 and 6. We have these things that are non-negotiable. These things are true. And they form the basis of our harmony together, our unity together. Now, I'm not saying that because someone doesn't have the same understanding of the Holy Spirit that someone else does, that they're anathema. There's room in all of this for tolerance and to help others along. But Paul says there are some things that our unity has to be based on, you know, and then we build up from there.
Mm-hmm. Right, there are certain things that we have in common, and that's important that we remember those. Yes, Jason. Right. No, that's true. Now, let's have a good relationship here, because we're going to be with each other for eternity in heaven, right? It should be a good thing. But that's important to remember. Yes, that what's the goal is for us all to help each other, you know, be right with God and be in heaven with Him one day. And so, of course, we want to love each other here. And there are many places to go, but if you say you love God and don't love your brother, you're a liar. So, very important. So let's get down to verses 31 and 32. Jeremy, would you read that of Ephesians 4, 31 and 32? All right. So, we're going to put away what? Bitterness. What is bitterness? Resentment, that just that bitter way of dealing with it. Some people are just bitter, right? Have you ever dealt with someone and it's always bad? You got a bitterness about them. Yes, Mike. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a bitterness. Yeah, so that is the natural result of that. And we can share bitterness, can't you? You know? Oh, did you see the way Zane... Happiness spreads, but the negative does too. It's a very good point. Yeah, are you going to spread happiness? You're going to spread bitterness. You know, it's funny when someone's bitter, the things that they can be mad about. Did you see the way Zane said hi to me today? It was horrible. You kind of have that smirk. You know the smirk. And people are like, I didn't know the smirk, but I'm going to watch for the smirk now because I mean, oh goodness, that, the way he's, I tell you, oh, I'd never thought about that, but you're exactly right. But we can go, oh, Zane said hi to me today in his goofy way. It's so funny the way he does that. Oh yeah, you know. But are we going to spread happiness? Or are we going to spread bitterness? Wrath and anger. We're going to put that away. Have you ever heard someone, well, I just have anger issues. Ever heard that? Yeah. What does it say? Don't. Right? There's that joke on the internet says, yeah, Jesus says, stop it. Right? You know, I don't care of your excuses. This isn't, unless that they were really unkind to you at one time. It says, put away wrath. Wrath is that ill will, that you want something bad to happen because of your anger. You know, the wrath of God, you know, we don't have, it's not, the wrath of Zane is nowhere found in here. Right? The vengeance of Zane. Nowhere do I have permission to have that. I'm putting those away. Yes, Mike. Amen. Stop quoting scripture to us, man. No. The wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. We're putting those things away. We're putting those things away. Slander. Very important. If it's true, that's very good defense in a legal court of law. You can be sued for slander, but the best defense against slander is if it's true. This is not a court of law, and we're not going to go from that standard. If you say something with the intent of making someone else look bad, even if it's true, that is slander. I repeat, even if it's true, what is your goal? Our children, we want to protect them. Do we tell everybody everything that's true about our children? No, why? Because we love them, right? We want people to think well of them. We don't go, oh, well, they have a... No, because we love them. We need to work to make sure that what we say is important. And it's true, it's necessary, kind, the whole thing, system. And I reminded of a man that we worshiped with many, many years ago, and he was talking to his adult son, and he was going to complain about his wife, you know, the guy's mother. And he goes, Dad, wait. If mom's not going to be the hero of this story, I don't want to hear it. Wow. He said, boy, that really told me. And he told the story because he wanted people to think about that. If they're not going to be the hero of the story, we don't want to hear it. So we're going to put that away along with all malice, this ill will. And when we put that away, it's going to prepare us to do what? Be kind to one another. That's the allelone. That's the word we're looking at. Be kind to one another. Have you ever struggled with being kind to somebody? Hopefully all of us have. Not because we want people to struggle with it, because if you haven't struggled with it, you haven't tried to be kind to everybody, right? So when we put this away, now we're prepared to be kind. When we put that away, now we have a heart that's ready to be kind. We've made the preparation to be kind. Being kind requires preparation, right? And then, you know, Zeke brought up the golden principle, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. This is What do they need? Now, when I was a kid, I thought that I should treat everybody exactly the way I wanted to be treated. But then as I got older, I realized not everybody's like me. If I were in their situation with their issues, their problems, their needs, desires, and personality, what would they want? That's the advanced way of looking at it, right? Just because you want a bass boat, don't give your wife a bass boat, right? We look and see what they need and be kind to them. If you're struggling with someone, what would be the decision that comes from this? What procedure are you going to apply from Ephesians 4, 31 and 32 to help us have unity with someone we're struggling with? We're going to forgive them. We're going to take this and we're going to set these things aside, and then we're going to actively try to be kind. Right? We're going to figure out ways to be kind. We're going to look for things that we can do to be kind, to build them up, because this is what God wants. Forgiving one another, that's going to be a part of it. But we're going to forgive not the way people forgive, but what is the standard for forgiveness? As Christ forgave us, right? How do we want to be forgiven? We want to be forgiven a little bit or completely. You know, I've made the joke. I think there's some truth in it. Do we want to get to heaven and God say, well, you barely got here, sit in the corner and be quiet. You're in heaven, so be happy about that. Is that what we're hoping for? No, that's not heaven, right? Heaven is when we come. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. We're a child of God. We get to see them face to face. We're all in this family together. That's what we're hoping for, right? But we often go, well, I'm not being mean to them, but don't expect me to talk to them. You've ever heard that? We have to put those things away, forgiving, with the idea, with the goal of actively being kind. In Colossians 3, 12 and 13. Randy, would you read that? Thank you. Alright, so this is a positive way of looking at it. The things that we're going to put on that we need to have. And we've talked about, I think, most of these. Compassion. What is compassion? Caring. Right? When I was trying to start talking, my throat was all gooey or whatever you want to say, and everybody's going, trying to clear your throat for me. That was compassionate, right? You were looking in my situation and you were trying to help. That's a very simple thing, and we have that connection as people. We carry that forward and to do that actively in all walks of life. And we talked a little bit about bearing with one another. What about has a complaint against one another? What is a complaint against? What are we talking about here? Right. When we have a complaint against each other, maybe this is not sin, maybe it doesn't do that level. So we have to then make a conscious decision. How do we approach this? If it's serious, if it's an issue that needs to be talked about, sometimes we just need to talk about it. Sit down in kindness and love and let's talk about it. Right? Let's resolve it with the determination not to complain to them, but to resolve it. Not with the goal of beating them down, but with the goal of solving the issue, making a plan going forward. It's very, very important that we do this, that we have an idea or a goal of unity at the end of it, right? Sometimes we just want to complain to people, right? Not what this is about. Because the goal then is to forgive. Again, this forgiveness like Jesus said. So, what kind of decision do we have to make, talking about this complaint, when we realize there's an issue between us and someone else? What decision do we need to make?
How do we decide to go forward? What are the different options of going forward, I guess I should say? Two options, right? Perfect. Exactly what I was thinking. Option A, get over it. Option B is, go talk to them and get over it. That's the only two, right? It's important that we think about that. And so we need to remember what our goal is to have unity, but also that we are trying to resolve that issue, right? We can't harbor this ill will and expect things to get better. So hopefully we're going to finish up this discussion of unity next time. And when we look at these, let's keep thinking about how I'm going to apply those. So the challenge with us today is how am I going to implement these? How am I going to make my relationship better? When we break, when you're talking to people, talk to someone you don't normally talk to. Meet someone that you haven't met. Or think, you know what? Corey and I, we're struggling. We're not. At least I hope not. But, you know, I'm going to make a very conscious, active effort to be more unified with someone, right? And it might be just because I don't know them. You might not know someone very well. Make an effort that you are going to learn about them and so that we can be unified together. Any comments before we close?